Hey, welcome back to Woman Talk to God, WTTG. It's been a minute, y'all. I'm your host, your girl, Shawn Owens, and I'm super excited that you have decided to join us for 25 days in December of Making Much of Jesus. We will be hearing some awesome testimonies from both men and women how Jesus is still saving souls. Let's tune in. Hey, friends. Today, I have the honor to sit and chat with my sister, Christina B. This week's sister has been a very much, just been very encouraging to me in this season. I'm very thankful for her. We are about to hear her testimony about how Jesus is still saving sinners like you and me. Welcome to the podcast, Christina.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, sweet. Now, can you tell the listeners your name?
Yes. My first name is Christina, and my last name is Blakeney, but I go by Christina B, writer for the King. I have a couple different aliases, so it's all good.
Sweet. Yeah. Can you tell us, like, where you're from, a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm from the Washington, D.C. area, born in D.C., raised in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Kind of suburbanite, but it's all good. Love D.C. too. Went to Delaware State University, for those who know DSU Hornets. It's a small HBCU in Dover, Delaware. So that was where I actually came to the Lord, where I came to Jesus.
Awesome. Well, we're going to jump right on in there. I'm super excited to hear this testimony. So yeah, so what was your life like before Christ?
Honestly, very much on the perfectionism track, if I can be honest. Always trying to do my very best, which is good, but not when that is your sole focus. And you know, I didn't have faith. I believed in God, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. So it was more of, you know, going to church, but not having that relationship. But I don't consider myself churched. I consider myself unchurched, because even though I had experiences, even at a young age, going to a Christian school, being part of a Christian summer camp, having people who I think planted that seed early on, I still didn't have faith myself in the Lord. I believed in God. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know who God is. I didn't know him as Jesus Christ yet.
Wow. So when was that moment where you started to realize that, okay, I need Jesus and I need to, first of all, when did you realize that you didn't know him? And when did you start to put your trust in him and realize that the lifestyle which you was living was not pleasing?
I'm so glad you asked. It hit me smack dab on the college campus at an HBCU right then. I was very much very Afrocentric. I still am to a certain degree, but I love all people. More multicultural now. But I just very much am pro-Black, very, you know, very informed or very woke. And so going to an HBCU just helped to reinforce that. So I was about that life, very focused on being educated and understanding Booker T. Washington's theory, that whole philosophy you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and understanding Du Bois and understanding the two merging. And so I was very much in that type of school of thought, and I rolled or hung out with people like that. And so I was around a lot of intellectuals, I'll just be honest. And we had discussions in and out of class and with our professor, without our professor, just, you know, would, you know, just chill out and talk. And, you know, those were some of the best experiences I had in college, because, you know, it was very, you know, a lot of free thought, a lot of free thinking. But in those circles, I met a group of ladies who really lived for the Lord during my third year. So I moved into an honors dorm, you know, and as a freshman, you're in the freshman dorm. But my second year, that's when I got into the honors dorm. And that was a relief, because, you know, freshman dorm, I need not to go too much on that, but you understand what that is like. So, but to be honest, to be really transparent, this was after I had spent a night with a guy. And I remember someone on campus, I didn't even know this person, said to me, well, you should be going to church with us. And I was like, who's that? So not focusing so much on what I did wrong at the moment, but that it kind of hit me like smack dab in my face at that moment. And I was like, oh, she's right. I didn't even know her, but, you know, it was like, okay. But that was more from a judgmental type of perspective, if I can be honest, not so much from a loving perspective, but the statement remained true. So that kind of hit me, struck a chord with me then. And I had a really interesting experience because, again, freshman dorm, you don't have any control of where you're going to stay at that point. When I was there, you're assigned to a certain dorm. But again, my sophomore year, earned my way by, my GPA. You had to maintain a 3.5 or higher into an honors dorm. And so I remained there until I graduated my fourth year. But I met a group of ladies in the G suite, ironically, G suite, as in God suite, like we like to call it, or the Jesus suite. There, everybody in that suite were and are born again believers on fire for the Lord, really living out the gospel. And so
Wow.
that was amazing. And that was very unique and very much a miracle, if I can be honest, because that was, people knew where to come. I remember studying late one night and someone was banging on the front door in our, of our suite. And I opened the door and said, "Hi, how are you?" They're like, "Hey, I need so-and-so," one of my friends. And I was like, "I'm sorry, they're asleep." "Okay, well, let them know that I need prayer." And I was like, "Okay." So just those type of experiences, not really
Wow.
knowing, again, who Jesus is.
And that's a college campus.
College campus
So
or
that's
a regular HBCU. This is not a Christian university, by the way. It's not Liberty or anything like that. This was a regular HBCU. Yeah. Everything that happens, the parties, the frats and the sororities, you have all of that. And then you have, your classes and you're bouncing all of that. And so I was dealing, with the challenge of that, if I can be honest. But I love to learn, I love to research, I love to study. So that was like perfect for me. And I was excited and amped up about that. But by the time I got to my third year of college, there definitely was something missing. I desired more of the Lord, not really knowing that's what it, that's what I needed or that's what I was. But there's always a God-shaped void that needs to be filled. And I believe God made his self known to me. He made himself known to me then. He pursued me. He actually strategically placed me on that campus so that I could receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that because he closed all the other doors to all the other universities and colleges for me. That was the only one that I got accepted to. And so when he placed me on that campus and I met those group of ladies, they really loved on me with the love of Jesus Christ. They really embraced me as I was and as I am, and just continually walk the walk of faith. They're not perfect by any means, but their example is what led me to the Lord. And I think just their encouragement, their prayer, we would have Bible study in our dorm room. We would invite other ladies there, going to services on our campus and off campus. That really was a blessing to me. But it's not from a religious perspective, it's from a relationship perspective. And so I was able to see with my own eyes, who Jesus is. That he God is love, as 1 John 4:8 declares, and just understanding, who he is in our lives. So I was able to experience that love, his grace, his mercy, and not feel condemned even for that past experience. And so it was unique. And I remember my roommate said before she accepted me as my roommate, she said to me that the Lord showed her my face when she prayed. And so she knew, because a couple other folks were, kind of wanting to be her roommate as well. But she said, "No, the Lord showed me your face. You're going to be my roommate." And ironically, her name is Naomi. So I'll say that much. I couldn't say everybody else's name, but I'll say her name.
Well, praise God for her.
Yeah.
Your life now look like.
Wow. Well, after getting, walking up to the altar, going, actually, let me tell that part as well. I actually got saved on
Sure.
an agape love message. And so the bishop of the church was in Smyrna, Delaware, which is like right next to Dover, Delaware, where our campus was, where our university is. And we were just attending the service. I should also mention that I was dancing in a dance ministry at the time during my third year and my senior year. So my third and fourth year, I joined the dance ministry my junior year and danced with some of my suite mates in the honors dorm. So in G suite, there was like a lot of different dynamics. Some of us danced, some of us were in a Christian sorority. It was just a really cool dynamic. But I joined a dance ministry. And so we weren't dancing in that particular service, but I remember the bishop and that pastor preaching on agape love. And so when he had the altar call, like before, previously, I went up to the altar. But this time when I went up to the altar, I could feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I could feel God's presence on me. And I just began to weep. And I gave my life to the Lord that day. And so once I gave my life to the Lord, it was just Jesus, 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 Jesus all day long. And I did lose some friends because who didn't know the Lord outside of the suite, because they were like, "What happened to you?" I was like, "Well, you don't understand. Like, Jesus is great. God is awesome. God is good. Like I didn't know that much, but I knew that he loved me and that he was good. And so it was transformative. God completely changed my life. The Lord is and his mercy and his grace saw fit to meet me right there on that campus, and I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah. Wow. Now, when you start, you said you were definitely working in, I guess, the perfectionism.
Yes.
How has God, what has God done in your heart to work with that now? Now that, yeah.
I think he helped me understand to realize that I'm human and I'm still kind of working through that. Again, being transparent. There's moments when I have, okay, I want to do this right, do this right, do this right, but that's not realistic because no human being is perfect. Only Almighty God is perfect. And so knowing that he is perfect, that's awesome. But not but it is. He's awesome. But understanding who we are as human beings, our human frailty, knowing that we have to rely on him and depend on him helps us realize that he keeps us in our day-to-day lives. And so I think that's the realization that I've come to is that it's okay. You will make mistakes. You are imperfect, but we serve a perfect God. And so that's who Jesus
Amen.
is.
Yeah, awesome, sis. Thank you for
You're
sharing
welcome.
that. In this season, what would you say? There's plenty of scriptures. I've been saying this on every podcast as far as own testimonies is concerned, because there's the word of God is so good, and there's several scriptures that we can just say that are our favorites,
Yes.
right? But in this season, what scripture would you say that you're leaning into and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I love that. I would say Philippians chapter 3, specifically verses 12 to 14, where the Apostle Paul is urging us or encouraging us to press toward the mark, because again, it talks about perfection as in maturity. So I'm going to read that if I may. Just
Oh, please.
out of NKJV, it says, "Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And it goes on from there, but those key verses are the texts in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And that has been encouraging in my walk with the Lord, particularly now, because sometimes we want to give up because of circumstances or because of what life brings, specifically even now during what we're experiencing this season and during this time. It has been like life all knowing that we're steadfast in the Lord, that we can continue to trust in God and trust in His love, his goodness, his mercy, and truth. He's unchanging. Hebrews 13:8 declares that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so looking at that scripture, correlating with this one, that we are pressing, it's constantly a pressing. It's not something that we do one day. It's, denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Jesus. And so as scripture tells us, it's a constant pressing. It doesn't mean we may not be even mature yet, as the word, talks about maturity, the milk of the word than the meat, but we are maturing and we are growing in our faith. And it doesn't happen overnight. It is a process, but it's a process through Christ, where we are rooted and grounded in God's word and in our faith. And He helps us to grow. He is merciful to us. His grace is sufficient.
Ooh, that was good, sis.
Amen.
Yes, amen. If for an unbeliever who may be listening and just heard your testimony, what is something that you would like to leave them to encourage them that they need to also place their faith and their trust in this Jesus that you just shared about and talked about and how he has changed your life?
Wow, that's good. First, to know that, God is love, that you're never too far away to either come back to the Lord if you need to recommit or rededicate your life to Christ, or for the person that doesn't know the Lord yet, that He loves you. I think a lot of times we focus on, in the Old Testament, we see, that the anger, we see things that happened before the blood of Jesus, before Jesus came, and we see God in a different perspective, but God is merciful. God is faithful. God is holy. And He will judge our works here on the earth, but He loves you. And when you can experience His love for the first time and you realize that you are loved through all of your life's experience from the time you were born until now, God is love. and he loves you with an unfailing, unconditional love. And I really want to express that, because a lot of times we will feel guilty or condemn ourselves because you know, we don't know any other way. We think, you know, we may be searching and looking at other faiths and trying to figure out, are you real? Well, he is real, and God is love, and he loves you unconditionally. Again, I just want to emphasize that again. But also in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, it says that you have to confess. We have to confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And so I'm actually going to read that as well. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So it's about confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to confess your sins. Actually open your mouth and confess them. Confess your attitudes, confess your wrongdoings, confess what you said. If you cause an offense to someone or you are offended by someone, ask the Lord to help you forgive that person or those people. Ask the Lord to grant you mercy and grace, because, you know, Jesus loves us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same thing he did for the disciples in the Bible days, he can do for us now. And so he is a God of love. He loves us. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as John 14, 6 declares. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it's by through Jesus Christ that we have salvation, and that we can live in eternity with him in heaven when we make the decision to live our lives here for him.
Well, thank you so much, sis. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for just sharing and making much of Jesus on this podcast. And to be honest, I look forward to having you back.
Oh, amen. I would love to be back. Thank you so much. Yeah. God bless you.
Well, thank you. And with that in closing, Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much. God bless you and your family.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope that by listening to this testimony, you have been encouraged. If you are listening and you are not a believer, which means that you have not placed your faith in Jesus, I pray that you realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. I encourage you to reach out to the person that shared this podcast with you and tell them that you would like to learn more about Jesus. If you are a believer, I encourage you to go tell it. Go tell someone about Jesus. Go and share the gospel. It's all about him. He is our only hope. And I also hope that you would tune in tomorrow as we are making much of Jesus.